Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 617. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up today, sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Yeah, not too much. Considering there has only been a day in between our talks, not a whole lot, shockingly, has changed. So, I am fresh off of watching AEW because for whatever reason my DVR does not properly record shows on the USA Network, so I always watch NXT first, and AEW gets backup status, and in general I kind of like the shows in that order anyway, because I generally like NXT better. And yeah, this week's Dynamite was, it was just okay. I was not surprised to see that their rating, that their viewership dropped back down to normal after spiking oddly by about 200,000 people last week.
I don't understand. NXT doesn't gains nothing. AEW drops 200,000. Where do these people go? Where else are they watching?
Well,
is it the Guy Fieri?
I don't know. That was just because AEW and NXT, haven't they been in that like 700,000 ish, close to 800,000 range?
Yeah.
As far as viewers go, for a while, like I just kind of. I glance at the numbers every now and again, but because I have zero vested interest in them, I don't care.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm fed up with ratings talk that dominating my Twitter feed. So yeah, but
it is one of those questions, though. I'm with you. Like, it's just like, why did 200,000 people just jump onto AEW for 1 week?
Well, I mean, it was the first time.
Jump off. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was the first time that. Well, 2 weeks ago, the Sting appearance was a surprise.
Oh.
And they did the, you know, the finish of the main event with Don Callis and Impact. So the next week they had the continuation of last week's show, the continuation of the main event angle, which ended up with nothing because Callis and Omega said nothing. Also, Impact's rating this week went down because the week previous, Omega and Callis really did nothing. There was no big continuation.
Yeah.
You know, Sting spoke for the Sting was advertised to be on the show, and to do a promo, which he did. It was fine. And they advertised Shaq on the show last week.
Oh. Yeah.
Nothing else on that show in particular must have been of interest to the 200,000 people who bailed.
That was one of those things. After we finished last week's show, I'm like, did we talk about Shaq at all? I was like, how did he come onto a show and we didn't, like, this? That segment was such a nothing burger that I forgot that he was even
and
on the show.
It's gonna even of a nothing burger because Brandy's pregnant, so she's never going to wrestle Jade Cargill. Who Shaq knows for some reason, because I guess all black people know each other or are related or something. Like, what a random thing. Jade Cargill knows Shaq. How? He's twice her age. Like, what is he? Is his mom's friend's daughter? What?
Yeah, it's one of those. I guess that was the other thing. Like, just, you don't even need that much context. Like, say, you know, you could even pull the whole Sasha Banks and Snoop Dogg card. Just say she's your cousin. Like, go, like, just some weak sauce reason, but give us a reason. It's wrestling. Like, I don't need a much of a reason. It can be, I mean, come on. I rolled with D-Von and Bubba being brothers, you know, and thought it was entertaining. You can sell anything if you do it, and they really didn't need to do that much work, and they didn't do it.
The whole Shaq thing was nothing, and it's going to turn out to be nothing because
Yeah.
we've been down this road before. This is not would not be the first time Shaq has backed out of doing a wrestling match.
yeah, and I guess I don't really care if he
I mean,
does a wrestling
Shaq
match.
versus Cody? Who the hell wants to see that? The whole idea of Shaq wrestling was, the freak show match with Big Show. Nobody wants to see him wrestle, have his drag his 50-year-old ass down in the ring at this point in his life and have a match with a guy half his size. That makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah. but that was another fun topic. The whole pregnancy announcement on Dynamite, that is definitely something that that caught caught my attention.
Congratulations, good for them. Of course, you almost got to make your jokes about how Cody's now trying to overshadow John Moxley and Renee with and Becky and Seth.
I mean that announcement, what I'm like, phew, man, these other ones have been like, just because it's been an interesting year in that department, just because what we also had Ray Rowe and
Sarah Logan is,
Sarah
I
Logan.
think she's like supposed to be due any day now as well. Becky just had her baby.
Yeah.
Renee Young is newly pregnant with her first with John Moxley, and now Cody and Brandy, and they definitely made sure to make it a major part of the television show.
Yeah.
Unsurprisingly, this is a vanity promotion, people.
I will admit, because we have not seen oh, Sugar, I forgot the dog's name.
Pharaoh?
Pharaoh, in a while, I did pop when I saw Pharaoh.
That was nice. That was cool. That was fun. And like I said, I'm not gonna be happy for these people.
Yeah. I'm good with some lighthearted jabs. You know, you can do whatever you want as far as those announcements go. I did laugh when I saw someone suggesting that his pyro would be the what do they call the gender reveal party would
Oh,
be his pyro one week.
yeah, that's happening. I totally believe that's happening, yes.
I didn't think about that, but I did get a good laugh when someone suggested that. So, yeah, that was kind of a big part of the show. Obviously, it does change some other things with the show. Like you said, definitely no Jade Cardgill and Brandi Rhodes, which is,
Yeah, it's breaking my heart.
yeah, it's perfectly acceptable by me that this is what ends up happening. yeah, 'cause, oh my God. We got the Taz promo talking about the daddy talk. After that, which there is something just kind of grating, and maybe that's a good thing about Taz at this point. I
Taz
don't.
is the only manager worth a shit in this in AEW.
Yeah. Because I was not exactly excited about Don Callis the last evening, but I guess we can get to him later.
It's a good. They got a good thing going with Taz and his group and Cody. I don't necessarily understand the whole thing with Taz's son or why we should really care about why that particular element of it. It's like he's just like an 18-year-old kid who just started training. Like he's not going to be any good. He's not. We shouldn't be seeing him in the ring anytime soon. But no, doing the deal with Cody and. I'm worried that they're not going to put the more of the focus, as much of the focus as they need to, on Darby Allin and all of this. I mean, he's there, but it has felt like ever since Cody beat him that Cody has kept the spotlight on himself ahead of Darby.
Yes.
But Sting did make the remark about Darby last week, and it seemingly Sting is more interested in Darby Allin than he is Cody. And I guess I could see if Sting's going to do a match anytime soon, that six-man tag is right there.
Oh, I would feel much more comfortable about Sting being involved in a match if it was a six-man match and it limited his exposure. I think that that would be for the best.
Yeah, so I can see that working. They've whether they want to do it for the next pay-per-view or their extra special edition of Dynamite on January 6th. If you want to, once again, it seems like they're just trying to throw everything at the wall to try and get that 1 million plus rating for 1 week. Yet you are the spiritual successor of WCW after all.
Yeah. Sustaining is the way to go.
Hopefully, no. Seems like anything's really sustaining.
Oh,
Well, not at the Wednesday night stuff, for sure. We already talked about that. But no, I like what's going on. I like the stuff with Team Taz and Cody and Darby and Sting. It's good. It's probably the best thing in the company right now. Actually, it definitely is. Nothing else is. Yeah, nothing else really is really hitting on that show right now. We'll talk about NXT later, excuse me, NXT later, but AEW, it definitely feels like they're doing a lot of gimmick stunt stuff. Ratings bait, but I don't know exactly where a number of things are going, or if there's really much of a long-term plan here of much.
I have at least found the one thing with AEW encouraging that they've been acknowledging Dark more here recently.
That's good.
It does it. I don't feel like they might have scrolled things down below, but having people on the show or on Dynamite and kind of referring back to that, I think is a helpful thing to maybe draw some people. Like, I still don't know if I can find the time to watch that or not, honestly,
I
but.
tried a few times. It's just too long. I'm like, it's an over 2 hour show of mostly squash matches. I'm like, even television back in the day wasn't like that, because you at least had your promos and things of that in between.
Oh,
It's just
yeah.
2 hours of squash matches, and I'm like, why would I watch that? I'm a proponent of squash matches, but
Oh,
an entire show of them to over 2 hours long, and it is a straight 2 hours, by the way. It's not, because it's on YouTube. It's not 2 hours with commercials. It is over 2 hours
Oh,
of
so it's
content.
kind of like watching a UFC fight then. You like the only break that you essentially get is ring exits and ring entrance.
Yeah, I think that. Well, I don't
Or
know
do
if they
they
don't.
cut it, or do they even cut that part?
Well, no. You get ring entrances, ring exits. I don't say there's very much promo stuff on there, other than they've given Britt Baker her own talk show. Because they've shown clips of that on Dynamite, which I don't know why that segment wouldn't be on Dynamite. I think they would be much more effective on Dynamite.
Yes, it would
So at
be.
least it breaks up the monotony of Dark, at least. But yeah, it just doesn't sound like an entertaining enough use of my time to watch Dark. Which I guess I miss some wrestling, some decent matches every once in a while, and see who's on the way up in AEW. But as you mentioned, that mentioning Dark more and is a good thing because you don't have the issues when Top Flight or the Acclaimed just all of a sudden just starts showing up on Dynamite. Who are these people?
Yeah, I mean there's still some fill in the blanks, but I feel like oh yeah, they've done a good job with Top Flight just because they've kind of been on Dynamite the longest, and I mean that's still only like 3 weeks long. But they gave him a little bit of promo time tonight to let them show off a little bit of personality, and I do think that more times than not, they do have really good video packages, and they're more because they're with kind of NXT, where I feel like they do some different stuff than the WWE would typically do, and how they present them. Because what's his? I do like the Darby Allin segments more times than not, like when
Yeah,
he.
they're very, very good videos. Yeah, and supposedly he's doing them for the most part by himself.
Yeah, so those are really fun, and I did like the one that they did for Top Flight a couple of weeks ago, before their first match. Because I didn't feel like we got that from the Acclaim. I feel like they were guys. And I think that's kind of been a fun use of the front row. That at first it seemed kind of weird when someone got into a pushing match to start a feud, but they've really started to use the wrestlers at ringside more effectively, I guess, to perpetuate some feuds here and there. And yeah, I guess the Acclaim did have some interest. They ended up winning their match.
Yeah, they beat
Oh.
Daniels and Kazarian. Yeah, or is it Daniels and oh God, I can't believe I didn't forget. It
Yeah.
was Daniels and Kazarian, right? Wasn't too much guy
Correct.
in the match, and I'm just forgetting.
Yeah. Yeah, it was not Scorpio Sky,
Yeah, no,
who
so they
seems to
picked
be
up a
the
good.
singles guy now.
Yeah, they so you know, they picked up a good win. Of course, they were gonna face the Young Bucks next week and lose. So that's the end of that already. I'm sure
Yeah.
that nobody's gonna watch because it's gonna probably end up airing after 11 p.m. by the time the game's actually over.
Oh man. And you know what? I'm looking at this review and I'm seeing something here right after the Acclaim win, and it was something that to me felt like a show-wide thing. Sometimes I feel like AEW is forcing the cursing into
Yes.
places that it doesn't need to be. And last night I'm like, man, there are a lot of people dropping a lot of stuff tonight, and my ears are not offended by such words, but, a lot of times it did not seem like it was warranted, and this was one of them where, yeah, I felt like it was already starting to push a boundary with the Young Bucks Acclaimed stuff afterwards. Even though they actually did not, I'm trying to think of what was it something that Bucks said actually? Because they did stop the one guy from saying fuck afterwards. But I'm trying to think. I know that there were a couple other spots where there was just swear. Because was did Taz swear?
Oh, I don't remember.
I think
I remember the. God, I'm know what you're saying. There was one that was just like, it just seemed gratuitous and unnecessary. I'm like, I don't remember what it was though.
Yeah. So it, but it popped up like three or four times, and I'm like, again, like if they want to create an alternative to the WWE and they want to be slightly more edgy slash are allowed to be more edgy by their network slash business plan, that's cool. But yeah, it kind of needs to fit in with it. And it just seemed like quite a few times it just felt like it was being forced to me. And that was kind of driving me a little bit bonkers. And I am never at this point not going to be entertained by Jim Ross and picture-in-picture commercial breaks. Like, him and his war against those is fucking hilarious. Like, he's been on the air now for the better part of a year, and he was still... He called it a couple of times a dining approved commercial or grade A commercial break. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, that guy, like, I don't know what it is with those picture in picture breaks, but it is something that fascinates me week out and week in and week out in AEW. Like, it's something that I shouldn't pay that much attention to, but he always seems awkward or just put off by doing those commercial breaks, and it's hilarious.
Jim Ross just seems put off by everything. Why did he even take this job at this point? It's just like, it's so miserable. I thought he was getting better for a little while, but it's obviously
and
just an unhappy guy.
And I did feel like I saw a headline. Did he say something in particular about Brandon Cutler somewhere?
Okay, all right.
That I could be filled in about.
Went on a rant about moves and all the moves the guys do today, and how, you know, the DDT is overused, the super kick is overused, and then that led into, you know, the train wreck dive spot and everyone stand together and catch this guy. Just watch him. Which I hate that too. I get rid of that. Get rid of the train wreck dives. Get rid of the Tower of Doom stuff. I'm with him on that, but at the same time, dude, these companies paying you more money than any announcer has ever made. Just not saying stuff publicly. I mean, sometimes it's funny because it's just like, he's just so miserable. It's like, you didn't have to take this job, JR. You're already a millionaire off WWE stock. I know you missed your wife and you live alone otherwise, but you also don't seem like you're happy doing this either.
But
moving on to the Brandon Cutler part. Well, Brandon, because apparently Jim Ross did bring it up to Brandon Cutler in a private conversation.
Oh.
Because Ross mentioned he told somebody about this in a private conversation. So then when the 14-man tag was announced for this week's show, Cutler said, we're all gonna band together and catch someone on a dive. Like, yeah, there might be a bit of a tension in the world of AEW right now.
Oh, that's hilarious. Because it's funny that you mentioned the dive, because I do feel like in the 10-man match, was it a 10-man match? Or was it a 12-man match?
It ended up 12 because they took Wardlow out and then they took Cutler out instead of finding a seventh guy for Jericho's team, which, Dick, You could see it as a punishment for Cutler, or you could not. People are going to read into it into that either way. But yeah, no, I mean, it seems like Tony Khan and Cody are the ones who wanted JR on this show, and I would venture to guess that Kenny Omega, maybe Omega's more neutral. But remember those New Japan shows when JR would be on the air basically burying Young Bucks matches. I don't think the Young Bucks have much, warm and tender feelings for good old JR. And Cutler's their boy.
Hey.
He wouldn't have a job if it wasn't for the Young Bucks.
Right.
I looked at his match history over on the Cage Match website. He left wrestling for like 7 years before AEW became a thing.
Oh, wow.
Like, he is just the Young Bucks guy. He is somebody who really, there are people who can get away with talking back to JR. But it's probably not him. He might literally be the least important person on that show.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good thing that he has two contracts.
Yeah, good for him. Yeah, it's all friends wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any special love. Like, I guess when they said that he was a wrestler, I didn't realize that it had been that long that he had wrestled. I mean, I guess he's been back at it for a year. I don't know if he's any better, and I don't think he's ever going to get anywhere important.
No, he's not. And again, it's, I guess a question was, did the Young Bucks put him up to it? To razzing JR. But I was like, maybe there's more strife in the AEW offices than we're aware of.
I mean, I guess I don't know how much control JR really has over the product.
He really has none. He gets paid a lot of money to just commentate. As far as I know, he has no other duties.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if I was him, I'd be pretty damn happy to be there.
Yeah, so I guess I just, because he's not involved in any of the talent end of things, really, like, what repercussions can there be for Cutler? Like, is he still not going to be on... This would have been, what, his first appearance on Dynamite in who knows how long at this point?
Right.
It's not like the Young Bucks are shoving him down our throat like he's the next Shawn Michaels or something like that. I mean,
no.
He has generally been relegated to either tag matches or multi-man matches, and that's been about it. So, yeah, that might have been more of a, hey, look at how great we are kind of a moment instead of the actual we're counting on Brandon Cutler to help the product here. So, yeah, I don't think there are a whole lot of repercussions.
No.
And... I was interested in the 12-man match here. The fact that Jake Hager allowed MJF to come in and pick up the cheapy win without much consternation at that. I guess is a movement in the storyline. Would you call it that?
Hey, probably with both shows, didn't feel like much really moved. You gotta get the inner circle together before you can break them apart.
Oh yeah.
So they have to have show some sort of form of unity for at least a small stretch of time before the big bust up happens.
Well, yeah, and I didn't think they had even done that yet when they were already teasing the breakup last week, again for like the 12th time since MJF's been courted. So yeah, it was at least a move in the right direction. And yeah, oh, and I guess the only other thing to really cover is the main event. I do not know what Joey Janela has on Kenny Omega, but he must have some real good dirt on him, or else he would not have main evented Dynamite twice against Kenny Omega. Thoughts on my wild accusations that have zero founding.
Whatever. it's Joey Janela. My good friend Joey. I don't know what the point of this was. They just went out there and had what amounted to a WWE hardcore match. Nothing special about it. There was no reason to do this. No reason for Omega to take those kind of take bumps in a match like that when he's just won the title and he's the centerpiece of the company right now. All for to have a match with Joey Janela, who is nothing in this company. You advertised Joey Janela in your main event. Maybe that's why the ratings were down.
I mean, every other time someone in the main event slot would get blamed. Definitely, if it happened in the WWE, that would have happened with the quickness.
Even if Joey Janela was in any way good in AEW, he's not consistently on Dynamite.
Oh.
So they advertised the main event with somebody. First of all, they did the angle on the internet over the weekend. So they didn't do it on Dynamite itself, which maybe doesn't necessarily correlate to the rating as much, but I'll blame Joey Janela anyway. but again, they've done nothing to build up Janela as anything worthy of this spot, even if it was a non-title match. It was a bad idea. Although it did lead to the whole Death Triangle challenge for Rey Fénix, because Fénix was unceremoniously dumped from the title eliminator tournament. So deserves his shot at Omega. It's a fine match to have for the title to have on the 30th in the part one of their New Year's special episodes. Doesn't feel like a match where that there's any chance Omega's gonna lose. But it's a fine match.
It should be a fun match. I do like Rey Fénix, the wrestler. I think that him and Pentagon don't really know how to have a tag team match, but that's just me talking. So I guess it's a good old time to move on over to NXT then, which I am impressed by the continued staying power of Leon Ruff. This guy has definitely ridden this carpet longer than I thought that this was going to last. The fact that he is now on after the NXT pay-per-view is quite impressive.
I guess so. Not someone who's impressing me very much or showing me too much here. It was fun for a little bit, but there's not much to the guy, especially since like the end of the North American title reign so quickly. He completely blew his dive to the top, to the
Oh.
floor, then nearly blew out his ass. Which thankfully, I guess he did not. But otherwise, I don't know. I don't know what you do with a guy like Leon Ruff. I don't know what you do with a guy who makes two is small, standing across from Johnny Gargano.
It's always one of those lines where, people always point out Rey Mysterio, but it's just like,
Rey is special.
yeah, do you
Rey is
know
the
what
one.
kind of an athletic wonder Rey Mysterio is? Like, Leon Ruff is not Rey Mysterio in the athletic department. So yeah, that argument doesn't really work. And I guess I'm definitely on board with Shahid and the I'm not body shaming him, but yeah, you should not look small next to Johnny Gargano ever. Johnny Gargano is not a tall gentleman. I believe that I am actually taller than Johnny Gargano, and I am a whopping 5'9". So, that's it's a tough look in wrestling to try and carry. You've got to be someone really special and unique. Because I guess that was the one thing that it always drove me bananas. Anytime I see Leon Ruff, I think about Cheeseburger from ROH. And it's just like, there were so many people that put over Cheeseburger, and I'm like, I don't get it. Like I really don't get it. I guess I can respect someone's ability to train hard and to do what you really wanted to do, but at the end of the day, like everyone's like, oh, you need to try and be champion at the end of the day. Like someone like that knows that that is just never gonna happen.
Right. No, I agree.
So yeah, I guess that's what I mean by impressive. Like I guess I really did not expect Leon Ruff to continue to be on TV, and he doesn't really have like a good, like Colin Delaney stayed on TV for what, a solid year or so, basically being a rag doll.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that you can pull that same stunt with Leon Ruff. Maybe you could.
Yeah, I don't. This is kind of a one of, this is definitely one of those baffling signings that there's no upside to him. There's no role for him on the main roster. There's barely a role for him in NXT.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you're small compared to pretty much the next smallest guy in the company, there's some issues to be had. So that opening match just put over The Way, which
Oh, what a
is
terrible name. Like, call him the Gargano Way. Call them the Gargano family, the way. That's just so stupid. Ugh.
yeah, I feel like they were trying to sh they're like, hey, Gargano Way is just too long. Is there a way to cut it down? They're like, yeah, we'll just call it The Way. Okay. Yeah, but it does. It makes it too generic. Like, I understand trying to condense things down a little bit, but yeah, the Gargano way, it just, especially when you're gonna say it anyway, just go with that as the full name, man. But yeah, they got a quick win, which I was not really surprised by. And I guess I have been a little bit bummed. Kushida seemed to be getting a push there, and he has not really had a whole lot of TV time recently.
No, and that is a major problem with NXT right now. It doesn't feel like anyone's moving up.
Yeah, 'cause he seemed like he was bound to go up, and he just hasn't.
Yeah.
And Tommaso Ciampa and what's Timothy Thatcher seem to be now they're going to be stuck in some perpetual feud here moving forward.
Yeah. Once again, I said nobody's moving up. Nothing's really happening. What is Ciampa even still doing in NXT? Thatcher never wins a big match. You know, they've done some cool stuff with them with the students and his violent teachings and all that. But then when push comes to shove in a match against anyone of note, he loses. So who cares?
Yeah, that one match against Matt Riddle, Lord only knows how many months ago now, isn't going to save you once you've lost all of the other matches that were big for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and another one that I keep on finding weirdly interesting is because what are they calling? He's the manager. He was Indushir's manager for half a minute. Why?
Malcolm Bivens.
Malcolm Bivens. Has he talked? Because he talked to that guy, whoever
That
Thatcher's.
guy, yeah.
Yeah, Tyler Rust. After the match. Was he talking to him last week also, or was he talking to someone
I think
else?
so. I think that they had that was going on in the background of another segment.
Okay. 'Cause I couldn't remember if it was a different person that he was trying to pick up, but I guess I am trying to figure out what they're trying to do with Bivens too, because he had a cup of coffee with Indushare, and then he's off TV for who? Well, they're all off TV for who knows how
Yeah,
long.
they've done. Yeah, he's been in there. He's been there for probably well over a year now, and they've just done nothing with him. I mean, he's a funny guy. He's got he's does the whole fake hustler gimmick and like your amateur club promoter type of deal, and it can be a good thing on good on TV, but they've done nothing with it. They've not featured him at all, and they're not certainly not giving him any top talent to work with either.
No. He hasn't even really gotten chicken shit to try to make chicken salad, like.
No, he hasn't really gotten a chance to make it with any of the people that they've even teased putting him with. No, because they don't get regular spots on NXT.
Yeah, so that's kind of a weird one. And yeah, he's another guy where you kind of like you had to have known you were signing him as just a manager. Why is like he shouldn't take as long to get on TV as a lot of other people. I
No,
get because of his role.
you probably should just be on the main roster with somebody. Yeah, but no, that's
Yeah.
not what they're doing here. I don't get it.
Yeah. So that was one weird part. I guess I was a little bit surprised at the outcome of the Kyle O'Reilly and Pete Dunne match. I don't know why I figured Pete Dunne would win. Just because Kyle O'Reilly certainly has some purpose to fight Finn Balor again.
Yeah, they left it open after the first match that you get Balor versus O'Reilly again. It was this great match where they beat the shit out of each other for real, and Finn Balor was out for 3 months. So totally worth it, guys.
Yeah, let's hope that they don't do that this second time around. Let's not injure each other, guys, and have a another quality match. That's my only message from me to you guys.
Yeah, no, but yeah, I was kind of, I'm feeling you on the whole Pete Dunne thing, because it would be a new match, and it would be an excellent match, but that's not where they're going. Be interested to see if it's just Finn versus O'Reilly match, or if there's going to be a major angle coming out of it. All the teases of Undisputed Era splitting up, ceased once they began the Pat McAfee build the War Games. I don't know if we're going to get some of that back again, or if we're just moving forward with all of the Undisputed Era's baby faces, which does not feel like it is the best use of at least, half of them.
Yeah, and I feel like did Bobby Fish have a major injury after War Games, or was that just a minor one?
What it was, but it felt like it's going to keep him out for at least a little while.
Yeah, I felt like he was out for at least a couple of months or something like
Yeah,
that.
something like that, yeah.
So yeah, I guess that's kind of an easy way to keep them baby faces, to not have him involved. Because I do feel like Roderick Strong can pull off the baby face thing. Bobby Fish, not as much. Although he did a pretty good job when him and Kyle O'Reilly were babyface, Red Dragon. I feel like he did a pretty solid job back in the day at this point. So yeah, there was that match was pretty fun. Yeah, Shotzi and Indy Hartwell, that was not much of a surprise. Karrion Kross and Desmond Troy was definitely not a surprise. And then yeah, we got Rhea Ripley versus Toni Storm in the main event here.
Another loss for Rhea Ripley. I mean, I get what they're doing because they want to do Raquel versus Rhea again, begs the question: why did they do it the first time with Rhea going over clean?
Yeah, I mean, it really did seem like I thought they were gonna anoint Raquel at that point. So it's kind of weird that they gave Rhea a win and then they're gonna just hand her a loss then.
Does feel that between, well, let's see, maybe the last Takeover and Takeover War Games, some things, and with Halloween Havoc in between, that think some things got changed up, maybe from original plans. And maybe that's one of them, because then they needed, two babyface women's teams. I mean, not two women's teams strong with each other. They wanted to do an Io versus Rhea match on NXT. That Io won.
Oh.
And I guess I guess they kind of just changed some things up a bit.
Oh.
And now they, after, obviously in War Games, they want to push Rhea. I mean, not Rhea, Raquel after War Games. You've got which I guess means that we're getting another match where Rhea's going to lose. Yeah. Well, boy, if things worked out great for her. From where she was a year ago. Literally a year ago.
Yeah. I mean, if she thought she was in a bad headspace after the loss there at WrestleMania, she really has not gotten back on track at all.
Yeah, and plus, I mean, I understand some of the logic of what they're doing. Obviously, they
Oh.
want Rhea and Raquel again, and I would venture to guess Toni Storm is getting a television title match against Io Shirai, possibly on the New Year's show. Just to
Yeah, that's a real possibility. Because they've definitely thrown her right into the top of the mix, it seems like. To start things off here. So, yeah, and I guess I don't really mind. Like, Toni Storm, Io Shirai should be a great match. Like, it's one of the many gifts of NXT is their women's division, as we've noted on a whole. So yeah, Rhea kind of in a little bit of a tailspin, but yeah, it. Yeah, she is needed way more on the main roster than she is down there. So I guess the more that we're talking about it, I was trying to like not say that out loud, I guess, but it's just like, yeah, just get her out of Dodge. Like I can understand like you kind of set this part in motion, but I would hope that maybe the Women's Royal Rumble would be a Rhea's headed to the main roster for good this time. Kind of a situation.
I agree 100%, yes.
So, any other small tidbits to cover before we hit eject?
Not really.
Okie doke. Bell time beer of the show happens to be Zaftig Brewing Tropical Hazy IPA. This was one of their summer specials here that I still have in the fridge. This is not a new one on this show. But it is a tasty one. I do like the hazy IPAs and anything with tropical hops. I'm here. Sign me up. So yeah, that is the bell time beer of the show. We will head on out of here before I sneeze. At DeFrango11, at Stunt Cali, the brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us wherever you can. 5 stars, please. And have a good night.
Later.